What comes up? This is Dr. Herbert O'Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with meditation. What comes up? When we meditate, things come up to us all the time. Things come to our mind all the time. We are besieged by all sorts of thoughts. In fact, we can be saying our affirmations, and in our affirmations, we can still have many other thoughts even while we're saying our affirmations. We can say, I like me, I'm divine order, I am peace. I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace. And as we say that, we get accustomed to those words, and then other thoughts come through our mind. Projects that we have, things that we're working on, things that we're doing, they come through our mind, and as they come through our mind, they say to us, wow, hey, this is interesting, this is neat, you know, and what's taking place as they do that? Well, what takes place as they do it is that we are having an interesting attitude about it, and our interesting attitude about it is that we are thinking in a positive way. And we're thinking in a positive way about more than one thing at a time, you might say. But not really. Our mind has many levels of awareness to it, many levels of cognitive ability. And as it has these many levels of thinking on, of different things at the same time, so to speak, we think that we are so brilliant and so wonderful that we can do that. So, what we do, we actually are not thinking of something, and then we're thinking of something else. So we think of something, and then we stop thinking about it, and then we think about something else, and then we stop thinking about it, and then we think about something else, and we stop thinking about it, we think about something else, and we stop thinking about it. See, we're actually always thinking one thing at one time, and we stop thinking about it when we think of something else. And so, as we are giving our affirmation to ourselves, I like me, I'm divine order, I'm peace, it becomes a mantra, and it becomes something we just say sort of rotely, and we just sort of let it go. And then other thoughts come up in our mind that want to take us away. Now, that's just the way it works. And there's nothing you can do about it. You're sunk with that. That's the way your mind is built, that's the way your memory is built, and that's the way you are built. And that's true. That is your training. That is your habit. That is your understanding of who you are. Now, if I say to you, now I want you to concentrate on one thing for, say, 10 seconds, and then concentrate and think of nothing else, and you find it almost impossible. I say concentrate on it for 30 seconds. Concentrate on it for a minute. And see, each length of time I give you makes an improbability or impossibility for you because you haven't trained yourself to do that. Now, as you train yourself in diligence and concentration and dedication to any particular point, you build up the skill, you build up the ability to do it. And in building up the ability to do it, you find out just how fantastic you are. You find out how capable you are and how able you are to do whatever it is you want to do. We are so accustomed to letting things just come up, and then we think about them. In fact, we sometimes let things come up that we do not want to think about, we say. But we think about them. We use the term, I'm going to tell you about how wonderful this scientific project is, but don't think about a red aardvark. Now, this scientific project is so glorious and so fantastic that it's going to just boggle your mind. But don't think about a red aardvark. Now, the scientific project is on how to make gold out of base metals. But don't think of a red aardvark. And the method that you create gold out of base metals by using your mind is by so developing your one contact. Don't think about a red aardvark. By so developing your one pointedness, your one directed consciousness, that whenever you're thinking, you're always, don't think about a red aardvark though, you're always thinking about whatever the project is that you're working on of making gold from baser metals. But don't think about a red aardvark. Now, as I have played this little game here, do you know what a red aardvark is? What's a red aardvark about? What color is a red aardvark? What does an aardvark do? Is an aardvark an anteater? Yes. Is it a funny-looking animal with a long snout and a long tongue that goes down in and gathers up the ants and has a delicious meal for itself? Yes. Now, what else were we talking about? And you can't think about it. You can't think about what the other topic is that we were talking about because you were commingling two topics. So one topic you remember, the other you don't. The primary topic you don't remember. You remember I said don't think about a red aardvark, and that you remember very well. You see, our minds are not trained by us to be one-pointed, to be so dedicated to whatever. Now, perhaps the way we want to do that is to just always intermingle in our subliminal thinking the concept that we really want to think about. And so what we really want to think about is how to change base metals to gold. And so, and I'm talking about red aardvarks have red color, and they have heavy skins, and they have long knives. And to change the base metals to gold, it takes a dedicated thought, which is going to be deeply engraved into this. You see, now, where is my emphasis? Am I letting the red aardvark thought overtake my base metals to gold thought? What am I doing? It's a choice that we make every moment of our life. On what are we concentrating? And on what are we having our secondary thought? Or what are we having our third thought, fourth thought, fifth thought? If we train ourselves so that we can think our first thought and activate our first thought, then we know what's coming up. And this is called meditation. To meditate upon our first thought, to meditate upon whatever it is that comes up in our inner being. And what comes up in our inner being is quite exciting. It's quite beautiful. It's quite imaginative. It's quite amazing. If we wrote a book about all the things that came up in our meditation, we'd have quite a book. Now, are we interested in writing a book? Or are we interested in perhaps just one or two of the things that came up in our meditation? Now, if we are interested in an idea that came up in our meditation, then we give it our full, wholehearted attention so that it brings us the results that we would like to have in our life. When we train ourselves to be one-pointed, when we train ourselves to be one-directed, when we train ourselves to keep going back to whatever it is that is our issue, then we build the skill of doing it. It's no more than building a mathematical skill or building a skill in music. It's just a matter of direction, concentration, application, and having it happen. When we are the masters of our thinking, our meditations are very effective. But when we are not the masters of our thinking and we think every possible thought we can think, our meditations are a hodgepodge. Our meditations are just a whole bunch of things that we're thinking about, taking us nowhere and making us think things that we're not really interested in thinking. Now, what do you want out of your meditation time? In your meditation time, do you want to achieve a goal? Then you must be one-pointed to it. And to be one-pointed to a goal is a simple thing for a master. That is, a person who chooses to master the concept of thinking one thing and thinking the first thought that comes to their mind. And this is for anybody. Are you tenacious? Are you stick-to-itive? Are you one-pointed? Are you choosing whatever it is that you want to think about and then making sure that that's all you think about? We look at a man sitting in front of a television set watching a sports game on television, and he is so one-pointed on that that he cannot hear of anybody else in the room. He doesn't know that there's a room around him. Now, that's not necessarily a good one-pointedness. It is a one-pointedness. But you see, even in that one-pointedness, it has so many diverse activities going on at the same time that you are aware of them, and you are not aware of where you're sitting in your living room. And you're not aware of your house, and you're not aware of your family. You're not aware of all these things because you're tuned over there. Well, now that's going in the right direction, you might say, in being one-pointed. In our meditation, in our inspiration, in our listening within, as we get this inner illumination, as we train ourselves to pay attention to what it is that we are directing our attention to, we train ourselves in a beautiful habit. And the beautiful habit stands with us all of our life, giving us the ability to meditate beneficially. Now, this doesn't happen overnight, it can, but it happens by our tenaciousness, by our stick-to-itiveness, by our one-pointedness, by our choice. And once we make that choice and stay with it, everything is open for us. Stay one-pointed with just what we're dreaming about and doing, and our meditation is sure to be an excellent something that will bring results for us in every possible way. Have a lovely day, and know that I love you. I love you. I love you.